Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Chetrajanand and today I have with me a very special guest, Kenneth Andrade, who is the CIO of Old Bridge Capital Management. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Andrade.
Thank you, Chetraj. Thanks for having me on.
The first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, you know, bulls are roaring on D Street. In fact, we have seen an almost 50% kind of rise from the lows. Well, you think this bull market is here to stay? And, you know, we are actually just about 10% from record highs, because equity markets across the globe have also climbed all wall of worries.
Mm-hmm. Well, the wall of worries, there will always be events in a life cycle of a market, and there will be multiple numbers of them. Uh-huh. And markets always move from euphoria to, should I say, depression and back all up again. But what's transitioned in the last couple of months, mm-hmm, is an event where people did not have the visibility of how it would eventually pan out. As we've gone through the last few months, I think a lot of economies, a lot of countries across the world have been able to wrap their heads around this, and we're getting back slowly. So all is not lost. Of course, as we go forward, the events that will materialize out of what has happened will definitely change. There will be some gainers in the entire process, and of course, there will be losers too. But market cycles will go on, liquidity will be awash, and the governments will do everything to protect their asset markets. So that's essentially what's happening on the ground.
Right. Well, in fact, a key message coming from Kenneth is all is not lost. I think that's what investors need to focus on at this point in time. But also, the broader market space seems to be getting a lot of attention recently. And after 2 years of underperformance, do you think 2020 could start a new era for some of the quality mid and small caps?
Well, that part of the market did struggle for quite some time, and not just in India. It's struggled across the world. The smaller companies did lose pricing and did lose market share to some of the companies that got liquidity at a drop of the hat. And I think that's the way the market transitioned itself. But as we go forward, I think the pandemic that set out has put all companies on an even keel. The bigger companies, while they have gotten bigger, have bigger problems to deal with right now. And the smaller companies that have been dealing with these businesses for these problems for the last two and a half years, or probably a little longer than that. So my sense is the recovery will be broad-based. The small companies have been dealing with the problems, the big companies will start dealing with the problems. And the recovery will be broad-based, and which is why the recovery will be equal for everyone that is sitting out there. The ones who survived the cycle are coming back, and they will come back with a larger market share, larger profitability. And all of that will be visible over the next couple of years.
Right. And going forward, what will work best for Indian markets? You know, would that be value investing, growth investing, or quality investing?
Well, these are broad nomenclatures that we all use. The way I've seen it, I've experienced it, value remains value till growth comes in.
Right.
Okay. And growth, after a point in time, fades out once growth goes off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Growth investing fades out after growth goes off. And the quality cycle you match the quality cycle with the growth cycle, and you get elevated price earning multiples out there. So it all starts with value, or my experience has been it all starts with value. And you take any business that has reached the Nifty, or any business is trading at a high price earning multiple, okay, has historically always traded cheap before growth came in. And I think that's the way it will go. So the way I look at the entire market cycle right now, I'm a proponent of value. So I have my underlying biases that value is there. We'll need to see if those businesses do well. If those businesses do well and accumulate a lot more profitability, they will definitely come back. I think when value turns into growth, your price earning multiple expands.
Yes.
So you get a premium on valuation, and you get a compounding profitability growth, which gives you the compounded growth of returns that you look for in an equity cycle.
Right. And in terms of sectoral allocation, you know, five Rafale jets will get inducted by Indian Air Force soon. And are there any stocks or sectors that investors could actually include in their portfolio to make it strong and withstand volatility for the next 6 to 12 months?
I mean, that's essentially where we've got a thought process that what has worked in the past is probably not going to work in the future.
Okay.
And that goes more to say that if you see three decadal growth in India, one was defined by IT, but that massive creation of Indian services came about because you had a fairly weak macroeconomy or a domestic economy.
Right.
The decade that followed next probably had the best macro economy we've seen for a very long time, okay, which is 2000 to 2010. And you had a capital cycle, which was private sector and public sector and the government participated together. And you had an investment economy that actually boomed. And the last cycle that you saw through was consumers and consumer credit. So whether you're buying a private sector bank, an NBFC, or you're buying a car company or an appliance company or even an FMCG, to the extent it was consumers leveraged by the financial cycle. So those are the three decades in perspective. And as we go forward into the next decade, I think things are going to change. So we probably get a scenario like the 90s, where what we're staring at now, and while you did point out a significant part of the government's efforts are going are on the defense side of the GDP. So we're looking at reasonably weak macros. Okay, and if I just tend back, India is probably staring at a situation where we'll behave like the 90s, and if we do that, and if we are right, that could actually turn out to be a golden period for equity investors and for corporate India, because what happened in 90s is India a lot of corporates turned their attention to 100% of the world economy,
okay,
or 100% of GDP. And you created large Indian multinationals. That was the start of the decade. You didn't have too much of that getting created in the last two decades. Okay. So when you address 100% of the world GDP by being an export-driven business, the other option is you address the India story, which is just 3% of the world GDP.
Okay.
So into the next decade, I think corporates are now, a lot of corporates and a lot of entrepreneurs that will come out with very efficient business models, both on the cost and the ability to get incremental global market share. And that will define a period where probably we'll arrive as a significantly large contributor to the supply chain globally.
Right. In fact, the outlook sounds really exciting that, probably India would be moving to the 90s era, we could say that. And the more entrepreneurs that come out from India, especially in the year 2020, would actually be good for the Indian equity markets as well as for the economy with more sustainable models. Well, that's good news for India all over. And the last question, probably I want to put it across to you, is that, if you can run through your PMS strategy, you are probably concentrating around about 20 companies that fit into a valuation framework with a favorable risk to reward profile. So how are you picking winners for your portfolio?
So we look at an industry which is effectively consolidating itself, been overlooked by markets, and not too much of new capacity coming there. Okay, and when we look at all of them, and if you just break down the indices over three decades, there are some industries that were large parts of the index and are not there anymore. When you look at some of the energy chains that have been put into play, you got the world transitioning from liquid fuel or petroleum based products into natural gas, and second is electricity. So one direct correlation is, will the enterprise value sitting on the refiners, marketing companies, the enterprise value shift from those businesses to the new fuel economy? And that by itself is a large opportunity. If I look at the new fuel economy that is there, whether it is renewables or whether it is gas and gas transmission, it's a very, very consolidated market, and you can count the number of companies on your fingertips.
Okay.
So that's one part of the geography, one part of the segment that we're concentrating on. It's got valuations in its favor. It's a significant large part of the economy, and it fits into what we think, if India evolves into a manufacturing phase, we'll get exhausted. I mean, we will need that much more energy to consume.
Right.
So from the front end, it's a lot of manufacturing businesses looking outwards, manufacturing services businesses looking outwards, which will feed into energy consumption or utility consumption. And at both extremes of the business, we see valuations which are fairly attractive. Mm. We hit a growth model out there. I think somewhere mid-decade, it should be very interesting how these companies shape up in terms of pricing the assets on the ground.
Right. Well, thank you, Mr. Andrade, and listeners, for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you very much.